Good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, say to them, 'No one shall defile himself for a dead person among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother and his father and his son and his daughter and his brother. Also for his virgin sister, who is near to him because she has had no husband for her that he may defile himself. He shall not defile himself as a relative by marriage among his people and so profane himself. They shall not make any baldness on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they present the offerings by fire to the Lord, the bread of their God, so they shall be holy. They shall not take a woman who is profaned by harlotry, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his God. You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. Also, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by harlotry, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. And the priest who is the highest among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil has been poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garment, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he approach any dead person, nor defile himself even for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him, I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or one who is profaned by harlotry. These he may not take, but rather he is to marry a virgin of his own people, that he may not profane his offspring among his people, for I am the Lord who sanctifies him. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, saying, No man of your offspring throughout their generations who has a defect shall approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a defect shall approach a blind man or a lame man, or he who has a disfigured face or any deformed limb, a man who has a broken foot or broken hand, or a hunchback or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scabs or crushed testicles. No man among the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect is to come near to offer the Lord's offerings by fire. Since he has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. And he shall not go into the veil or come near the altar because he has a defect, that he may not profane my sanctuaries. For I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel. Amen. So now you have the regulations concerning the priesthood. Very, very, very specific, very particular, can seemingly sound a bit harsh in some ways, but we'll go over this a little bit. The first part, right, so he tells these guys that they shall not defile himself for a dead person among his people. This is talking about funeral rites in a way. And so he continues on with this idea that in verse 5, they shall not make any baldness on their heads, nor shave off the edges of their beards, nor make any cuts in their flesh. This was in, spoken of a few chapters before. And again, this was the a typical pagan ritual or a pagan rite of how they would go about their practices. You know, they would shave themselves, they would cut themselves, you know, and whatnot. And so he wanted to make sure that the priests are not given over to this type of idolatry. It's really important to the Lord, I mean, to everyone else. It's quite important that we, when we talk about these priests, because they're offering such a holy sacrifice for people's sins, it's important for them to be holy. In that same way, when God is instructed for the animals, you know, for the doves, the turtle doves, and the lamb, that these must be spotless as well. And it's kind of in that same vein that where he wants a spotless creature, it will take a spotless intercessor or a priest to offer these sacrifices to make atonement for their sins. That's why later on, when Jesus comes on the scene, again, he is the spotless Lamb of God. And so there's this idea that goes to work here. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. But let me just touch on something here. And he says, and they shall not take, verse 7, a woman who is profaned by harlotry, nor they take a woman divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his God, he shall consecrate him. Therefore, he offers the bread of your God. Sometimes the bread in this translation is translated as seed. He shall be holy to you, and I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. Also, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by harlotry, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. And the priest who is the highest among his brothers, whose head the anointing oil has been poured, who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not cover his head, nor tear his clothes, nor shall any dead person, follow, let's go down a bit, and verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or divorced woman, or one who is profaned by harlotry, these may not take, but rather he is to marry a virgin to his own people, that he may not profane his offspring among his people. I am the Lord who sanctifies him. And so it's quite important, the choice of partner that the priest has. Now, don't miss the context, okay? He's talking about the high priest. So he's not talking about the regular churchgoer, you know, the harlot, the lame, the crippled. They can all offer their sacrifices given to the priest. And so I don't want you to misunderstand the context of the text. He's saying here that the high priest, the one who is filled with the anointing oil, that gets to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, you know, during the Day of Atonement, you know, in this regard, they need to be holy because he is holy. And thus, it really speaks of even the priest's need for atonement. And we'll get more into that next chapter when we talk about his sacrifices. But touching back on this, you know, I mean, how we can bring this into a modern day, you know, it is very, very important, the choice of your spouse. It is absolutely vital that your spouse be on the same page with you. This is the term that will be spoken of later in the New Testament, where he talks about don't be unequally yoked. And the picture is really two oxen that are carrying a yoke, and it's usually two. And if one gets ahead of the other, the land doesn't get tilled correctly. It's not a straight line. And in fact, if one ox is stronger than the other ox, then basically what happens is you end up going around in circles. Did you know, this is kind of a side note, did you know that if we had no barriers, if, in other words, we're out in a vast desert, and there were no markers that we can point to as a way or a path or a way to go or anything like that, and if we're to just simply walk what we consider straight by which, you know, in our own idea of what it means to be straight, because most people, their gait is not perfect. In other words, usually one leg is a little bit longer or a little bit shorter than the other leg, and then there's like knee issues and hip adjustment issues. If you had no markers and you simply walk straight, by the time you finish, you'd be walking around in circles. And, I mean, if we're going to use our legs as an example, if the oxen one doesn't really hit you because none of us are farmers here, you know, it'd be important for us to recognize when we're talking about our calling, when we talk about, you know, what we believe God is going to do with our lives and just the purposes of God in our lives, it's very, very important, the choice of your spouse. You don't want to be unequally yoked. That phrase, unequally yoked, not just only means believer, non-believer, though it definitely means that. But it has so much greater connotation. It's even talking about the strength of your faith. You know, it could even, you know, in a modern context, it could even deal with theological differences. I had a really good friend of mine. He's still a good friend of mine, and he's charismatic and just loves God and just involved in so many different ministries. And you know, he was a lay person. You know, he ended up being basically an athletic trainer with the Boston Red Sox, and then he spent some time with the Dodgers. But you know, he just really loves God, and he was dating someone. I mean, the girl was awesome. She was a believer, But she would not take any of that healing stuff or the speaking in tongues. None of it. She would have none of it, and she was adamantly against it. And the it just didn't work out. You know, there was too much difference. Even though they're both saved and they're both Christians and they're both, you know, I would say mature Christians, because they were unequally yoked in terms of their theology, it became a very, very difficult thing. You know, I have seen, unfortunately, so many times where people wanted to get married so bad. I mean, they just wanted to be married so bad that this person will do. You know, this person is not a Christian or is a very, very young Christian and, you know, very wishful thinking. Oh, I think this person, you know, once we get married, he's going to change. You know, or once we get married, she's going to change. You know, they very rarely change. Very rarely change. And it's you know, very unfortunate that people have gone down this path, and it's become a very, very painful path for them. At the least, you know, all the wonderful plans that they had felt God had spoken into their life have all but disappeared and vanished. And now they're just living in the rat race, just like anybody else. And it's an incredible tragedy. You know, at the end of their life, when, you know, they're Christians, they're going to be in heaven. You know, and John tells us, it says, on that day, he says, some will be ashamed. I think that's precisely what he's talking about there. And so, I mean, listen, just be very, very clear. Make sure your future spouse or whatnot, they don't have to have the same anointing as you, or, you know, the same gift set, or even the same calling, right? I mean, you want to do missions and whatnot. It doesn't really matter. You know, but what's key is that they're both on the same page in terms of your willingness to follow God. You know, when I was in seminary, I used to, you know, I knew just kind of really deep down that I was going to be living in China. I didn't know it would be Hong Kong, but I knew that I was going to be in Asia, even when I was in seminary. And so, you know, I would meet a girl and, you know, I'd be quite interested in this person, and you know, we'd go out and you know, go to dinner or something, and then I'd ask him the big question: are you called to China? And if they said no, that was it. I just cut it off and I just moved on. I didn't realize how stupid I was in this regard, because you know, callings change. It changes all the time. People's path and direction changes, but it's that heart. I should have listened to the heart. So I'm interested in Lisa, and now she's kind of interested in me. So we go and have a little DTR, and I ask her, "Hey, you know, how about you? What do you think about China?" And she, because now I've matured a bit, she goes, "Yeah, I don't really, you know." She's like, "Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't mean anything." But she ended the conversation by saying, "But if God asks me to go there, I'll go." You know, and well, I thought, oh, that's a great answer. And that's really what you should be looking at. So I'm not talking about having the same exact calling, okay? Because, I mean, let's say you have two people, they have the same exact calling. Let's say one, you know, later on, the calling changes a bit, and then the other person is just stuck on that calling. It's gonna be quite a difficult thing, right? I think the key is a maturity in their devotion to Christ, right? A real maturity in their love for God, and a real willingness to just obey whatever God asked them to obey. You know, obviously, my wife was true to her word. You know, I took her away from her family, and you know, shortly after she graduated from grad school, and now we're here, you know, 12 years in Hong Kong. And so, you know, be very, very wise. I know most of you guys here are single. You know, there's some of you here that are married. You know, it's too late. Now live the life that changes your wife's heart, you know, or your husband's heart in a way. But, you know, for the most of us, be very wise in our choice, in our partners in that regard. So then we continue on here. So we go through all these things, make sure that, you know, they don't have a defect. And this, I mean, this is important. This is actually more important than you think it is. And God is not prejudiced. Remember, this is talking about priests. Okay, it's not talking about the regular person, it's priests. And it's this idea because the priest is a representative of God. And especially in this Old Testament law, sacrificial system of law. And so, you know, the law of atonement. And so it's really important. It's a spotless animal, but it also is the spotless priest. And now, we live in New Covenant, okay, so it's very different now. You know, I mean, I've had broken hands. I preach with broken hands. I preach with all kinds of stuff. So we know that it's a different style. But it's that now, if you think about it, the Old Testament, a lot of it was about appearance. Okay, there really wasn't a lot spoken about the heart. If you really look through, a lot of it was about the appearance. It didn't mean the heart wasn't there. I mean, it was important as well. But a lot of the laws and whatnot dealt with appearance. The New Testament is a very different dynamic. It deals with more the heart than the outward appearance. And so in that regard, this idea of priest, when we talk about pastor, has changed into really more of the issue of integrity, right? I mean, think about it. I know how important it is. If you know, as a preacher, you know, if I say something and I violate that by the way I live my life, then it carries no weight, right? I mean, it carries no value for many people. Like, I don't mean to be insensitive, okay? But I'll just throw something out there. Let's say I weigh 400 pounds, okay? You know, let's say I'm just, you know, whatever, I'm just huge. And I'm up there preaching, and I talk to the congregation about self-control. You need to be self-controlled. You know, the Bible talks about it. I know exactly what people are thinking in the congregation. What? Self-control? Man, you should control yourself with them hamburgers, man, yourself. You know, or, you know, you guys understand what I'm saying? And that really lays the point. I remember years ago when we were quite young as a church, and you know, we were just new in Hong Kong, and I had done ENP, and I had just spoken about integrity, you know, and whatnot. And then afterwards, a bunch of us, you know, it was during the Christmas time, so we went out to breakfast, and then so a lot of people were not working, so we went out to breakfast, and then some guys took me to Wan Chai, you know, first I went to Computer Center, and I had to buy some software. And things, and so I went, and so I bought pirated software. In all honesty, I didn't know that was wrong. You know, I was brand new to Hong Kong, which is what everyone does. And then, but it was really sketchy because, you know, I go there, and I should have known it was a bit sketchy. I go there, and this guy's like, no, well, I'll meet you across the street in an hour, you know, right next to the old fortress, not there anymore. I'll meet you over by Fortress, and then, you know, I'll pass the Windows, you know, Microsoft something to you, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay. So I went across the street, and so we're waiting. So a bunch of us, imagine six of us, are waiting for, you know, all SPers were waiting for this pirated software. And then one of the really young sisters, you know, goes, "Hey, P. Sam, didn't you just talk about integrity this morning, you know, at EMP?" And I was like, oh, yeah. It felt so bad. But we understand that. You know what I mean? And things, and I mean, if the preacher is saying something and living a totally different life, inherently in our hearts, I mean, because we're looking for all different kinds of excuses not to listen. You know what I mean? Our flesh, our sinful nature, you know, the enemy of our souls is trying to take us to a place where we don't want to listen. We don't want to be convicted. You know what I mean? We just want to be happy. We just want to be encouraged all the time. and whatnot. But every once in a while, you know, I don't know if about you, but every once in a while, I need a smackdown. You know, I mean, I need God to just smack me down and just shoot straight and get things, you know, get my life in order because I'm sinful. You know, and I know the congregation would need that as well. But then if there's a lack of integrity in the speaker, and we're all very aware of this, then you know, right, there's my excuse not to listen or to judge. And all kinds of havoc lays out. Going back to this, in the Old Testament, right, it was the appearance because they were the representative of God. They were offering a holy sacrifice, so they must be holy. And it was very important for that. Again, in the New Testament, now it's dealing with integrity, dealing with issues of the heart. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's go back to something I said, because, you know, most of you guys are not preachers. Even though it could relate to you and your witness of your friends and whatnot, you know, they're looking for the way you live your life. But let's touch on something else. Most of you guys in here are single. Right. Let's pray this morning to the Lord about your future spouse. Let's pray that your spouse, right, would be your complement, not your deterrent. You know, the scripture in Genesis tells us a helper suitable, the helpmate. That's together, right? That you'd be equally yoked. Now, if you're married and spiritually there is an unequalness, let's pray. Pray for your spouse. Maybe the unequalness is you. Maybe you're the weak link. Pray for maturity. Pray that you be equally yoked with your spouse. And let's give ourselves to the Lord in this area of relationships and marriage.
Better is one day. cross. Better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. My flesh and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. There is one day. There is one day. There is one day. A thousand times where. There is one day. There is one. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
Thank God that He has provided that person for us. Let's praise Him for being concerned in our lives, that we, as a proclamation, you will be equally yoked. If you're a married couple, right, praise God for your spouse. Pray for a more evenness, if I could use that word, in terms of your relationship with God together. All right, let's just keep praying. Just ask God to provide and pray for growth. Let's pray. Let's cover our community in prayer. Let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling cancer. So let's ask for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray that the word of salvation would go forth and the word of healing. Let's cover. Let's pray for our community that needs healing. Let's pray for God's touch in their lives. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley. In particular, pray for Ashley. She's got about a month and a half left, and she's trying to figure out the next steps for her. And so let's pray for God's wisdom and vision in her life. And let's pray for Pastor O, vision to reality as he finishes up his paper or his PhD. Pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church. Ask God's hand to be upon him in the church so they would just continue to grow. Let's also pray for Bloom as well. Ask the Lord to continue to grow their ministry there in Phnom Penh and also in Siem Reap. Let's just cover. Let's cover the board. Let's pray for a lot of wisdom. Let's pray for the families. Ask the Lord for protection as they. I really pray that each of the board members would be a man and woman of prayer first and foremost before any other leadership. Let's just cover. Let's cover our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for the welcoming and barista. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and pray for more volunteers that would sign up and serve the church in this way. Let's pray that they would just create or be a part of creating a very welcoming, loving atmosphere, not only for our newcomers, but for everyone that comes. Let's cover our house churches meeting tonight. Robbie West, New Conduit, Sha Tin, Tai Hang Elements, Happy Valley, and Island. Let's pray for Holy Spirit's power, His protection, His word to be to go forth with power, and real community to be built before the house church breaks soon. Let's just cover. Lastly, this is not on the list, but let's pray for our town hall that's coming up this Sunday. Let's just pray for just the presence of God and just the spirit of celebration and just looking at the faithfulness of God and what He's done with us. And let's pray for that time, as well as a lot of really good information being passed to the church. Let's just cover that time. Lord, we thank You this morning, God. We thank You for Your care. God, we thank You, Lord, that You love us deeply, that You are concerned about our spouses, God, our future spouses, our relationships. I pray, God, that there would be an alignment with You, God, as well as to one another, God. And so lead us, we pray, God. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time today. We'll see you tomorrow.